It's still good.
It's still good.
It's still good. I thought that was really neat. Okay, I'm going to read some scriptures and see if you can pick up on a word that they're all connected to. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. From there, let's turn to Psalms chapter 16. That would be going backwards. Psalms 16 and verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. In the New Testament, after the book of Hebrews, then James, then good old Simon Peter. I wonder if they're up in heaven, the ones who were used to write the Bible saying, oh good, they're quoting me. Okay, Peter, we're giving you some attention here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice through now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. And then let's try the Gospel of St. John, chapter 5 and verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And then the last verse we'll look at is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 6. How many have picked up yet on the word? Well, don't overwhelm me. Somebody say the word, please. Thank you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. One more. No, we read it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us understanding, we pray, of a truth, and help us to know you and to see you working in our lives, in our country, in our church, and us individually. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I honestly, after this morning's message, did not know what I was going to be speaking on this evening. I do pretty good to hear from the Lord twice. But three times before the day comes, sometimes just doesn't quite come. But after church this morning, my gears were already in gear. And I remember having a conversation briefly with Brother Garner, and I'd mention about how sure looks like spring has sprung. And we talked a little bit. We know, let's go back to, because we know about this subject called seasons. Let's take a look briefly at the book of Ecclesiastes again. It's one book that colleges like to read from because they think they're really philosophical, but they really don't get to the heart of the word. And but it does say The wise man said in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And he goes on talking about different seasons of life. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. These are the observations that the Holy Spirit no doubt showed Solomon, and he wrote about them. He goes on and says, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. None of these will usually happen at the same time in your life, or you'll have a mental breakdown. They are seasons that God, who is in control of seasons, Solomon recognized that we go through in life. Verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of man to be exercised therein. And he begins to conclude and says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. So these are seasons that God is the author of and the finisher of. And so he says, he has set in the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He just knows that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. In the north, we have, I think, more distinct seasons than I have noticed here. The fall or the spring and the summer, fall and winter seem to be a little bit more distinct. And yet it says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 4, Genesis 1:14, when God was creating everything and made a comment, he said, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. That no doubt probably is dealing with the weather, and for days and years. As I mentioned, in the north, the seasons are a little bit more obvious, but there are four, and there are four distinct seasons that we even have here in where we live. Saturday was a day I had to take my car to the mechanic, and the mechanic said to me, I've been witnessing this guy for a long time. And he just wants to argue about everything. But finally, he said, well, to be truthful with you, preacher, he said, I'm going to die. I found out I got cancer. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, where are you? He said, it's full blown. I said, well, how do you feel? He said, I feel absolutely miserable. And then he walked over to a calendar and he pointed to April Fool's. I told him I didn't think that was a very good April Fool's Day. I said to him, when you get saved, your humor will change as well as other things. But he wanted to argue about that, so I left him alone. We are aware of a change. We do have a calendar, and we see changes. We've had quite a bit of rain this year. We've had, I think it's been a collective agreement by all that the drought is over, and we've come out of our drought. It says in Psalms chapter 1 verse 3 that God bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. That word season, as we begin to let it draw us into the thoughts is interesting, because that means that there's more than a season in regards to weather. He says, to everything there is a season. So that opens the door up that he's not just talking about different seasons of weather. There's a season for more than just weather. There's a season for the geese in the north when they sense winter coming on, when they fly south. There's a season for bears that go into hibernation. And there is a season, he says, for everything. And so let us begin to let that challenge our hearts and minds. There's a season for a moth before a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. He goes through quite a change. And what a change. For everything, there is a season. Daniel, in his vision, saw four different kingdoms. Four to be exact, but each of these kingdoms had a season, had a beginning and an ending. And not only do kingdoms and nations have their beginnings and their endings and seasons in that sense. Remember, he said everything there is a season. It just doesn't bring in weather or animals. It even brings in kingdoms, and it brings in our own personal lives. Lives have seasons in many ways. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I'm entering another season. I put away those childish things. And in our lives, not only are there seasons of growing, but there are seasons, the scripture speaks of trials, seasons of temptations, seasons of blessings, seasons of distinct differences of what was, and a season change and a shift of it is different now. When it says that Jesus, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he had a seasonal change. And the reason I use that word is it says that he was led of the Holy Spirit, or driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. Now we must not lose the meaning on 40 literal days, and I'm not saying it wasn't 40 literal days, but 40 is often a word to signify a fullness of time. And it says that Moses, when he went up into the mountain, he was there 40 days. And David reigned as a king for 40 years. When it says that he was beaten, Paul said, with 39 stripes, he doesn't mean literally 39 as much as it means if it had been one more, I'd have died. And it was a fullness, a completion of something. So 40 often has a meaning that is speaking of fullness, and it is complete. And we could say winter is over or spring is over. And on our calendar, we try to pinpoint that, and it's sometimes accurate, sometimes not. But when it says that Jesus was driven of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, then it says, after those 40 days, it says that the devil leaveth him for a season, which indicates in our lives that there are seasons of temptation. It's probably not 40 days, but there are times in each believer that follows God, you will have a time and a season of temptation. And then you have a season when the devil leaves you. Thank the Lord. In Luke 4:13, it says, he departed from him for a season. I know of people that sometimes that maybe don't have a lot of years of experience in serving the Lord and haven't learned these things yet. I remember speaking to one, they said, you know, Pastor, I'm so excited. I've been living for the Lord now. I've been praying and praying. But you know what? I think that I have finally arrived to where I'm not going to be tempted anymore. I've been doing so good. And in fact, I think I've matured to the place where, And he was sincere. And I didn't want to discourage him. I figured he'd find out on his own. He was simply going through a season where he was not being tempted. But as sure as that devil can leave you for a season, he can come back and start again. And when I saw him months down the road, I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Oh, no, it didn't happen like I thought it would." And may we learn that there are seasons. In fact, this when he said there are seasons for everything, God, in dealing with Israel, you can find distinct seasons of what they went through. There was a time of captivity, a season of captivity. There was the season of from the captivity to the wilderness, which was 40 years. And then there was a season when they left the wilderness into the promised land, and they were a season of conquering and battling. And then you have the season for Israel where they had judges. And then it went from, or it started with seers, and then it went from seers to judges. They used to be called seers, and they began to call them judges. And then it went from judges to kings. And speaking of seasons, Brother Raymond Harms, who was a dear man, I remember he said to me one time that he, in his years of preaching, that he did a series on the nights of the Bible. And he took it from Psalms chapter 16, verse 7. And here the Bible speaks about nights of the Bible, and he did a series on it. But he says in Psalm 16, verse 7, I believe we read it, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." There are dark times in our lives. And I hope you're not going through a dark time in your life. But they are there just as sure as there is a winter, a summer, a spring, and a fall. There are seasons of night seasons. The word season begins to take on more of a meaning. And remember, the wise man said, in everything there is a season. And we do well to take the words an angel said to Zacharias, who when the angel came to him, letting him know that your wife is going to have a child and he shall be John, he shall be full of the Holy Ghost. It says that he didn't quite believe it. But we do well to take the words. And Jesus spoke that, "It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come." But Israel went through a huge change, having Christ literally with them, and then seeing Jesus go up, it had to be the most miserable 10 days on one hand. You better pray when you haven't had the Holy Spirit come yet, and Jesus gone. 10 days. That would be quite a season in one sense. But he says, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And there was a huge change, a seasonal change when it did come. And if you're going through an obvious change in your life, listen to the advice of the angel. Keep your eyes on the Lord, even during seasonal changes. It had been a season of Jesus, a time when he was there, and then a great change. He's gone, and Jesus would be taken, but he said, "It's to your advantage." Boy, that would be a tough one. You don't have Jesus, and the Holy Spirit hadn't come in his fullness yet, but that was a seasonal change. And because the people of Israel, when they were living at the time, as they saw Jesus go up and ascend into the heavens, the angels said, as they were standing there gazing, we read in Acts 1, they said to the angels, "Will at this time restore unto us," let's turn there, "the kingdom to Israel." And there's good logic behind their question, because anybody that knew anything about the history of Israel has seen Israel go through a lot of changes. A lot of season changes. Excuse me, that was not the angel they were asking, that was Jesus. So let me correct that. And I need to make one other correction while I'm thinking about it. I said last week that I normally don't battle with bitterness and resentment. When I got home, my wife had said, "Excuse me," and then she reminded me something. I said, "You're right, I did battle that, so let me correct that. I'm not as holy as I thought I was. I have battled at times, having to fight." How many are joining in with me? But here, they said to Jesus, knowing the history of Israel, and they said, "Lord, when wilt thou restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Because we've seen Israel in charge, and we've seen Israel defeated. We've seen Israel back on the throne, and we've seen it in captivity. We've seen the temple rebuilt, and we've seen it tore down. And right now, we're under the yoke of Rome. When wilt thou restore unto us the kingdom to Israel? When are we going to get this power back like we had it? And Jesus said in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put," and may we understand this, "in his own power." God is in control of that particular area. He was referring to Israel. He didn't say that Israel's done with. He didn't say, "Well, that's a dumb question. He's done with Israel." He just simply said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It will take place, I do believe." How many know our country, I believe, is going through a seasonal change? We just left and have come out of an administration of 8 years. I have nothing more to say. We are entering into a new season, a different leader. But it is obviously something quite different. I sense a seasonal change. But this word "season" in Scripture, remember, it's everything. It really causes us, when we begin to meditate upon this and bring God into the equation, it causes us to back up and not just look at the moment right now. Hopefully, it causes us to back up and begin to look at blocks of time and begin to see things from more than just not right now. In John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "An angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and whoever, after the angel troubled the waters, whoever stepped in first," it says, "was made whole." That's interesting. It says there was a great multitude of people there. How did they know when the angel would come? I have to conclude that they must have known from past experiences and other times that the angel came at a certain season. And because they began to look back and to see that particular when it was he came, that's when the crowds gathered. I don't believe the crowds were year-round around that pool. It says that the crowd gathered at a certain time, knowing that the angel may come. And they had a sense of when it would take place. How many have ever had a sense that something was about to happen and you just don't know what it is, but you get a sense? You may be sensing or feeling the ministry of angels coming, but it is a very interesting thing. There are seasons that we recognize, whether it be the weather or nations or individuals, but they are real. Not only in weather, sometimes the season changes abruptly. Sometimes we go from one season gradually into the next season. Sometimes it's gradual, sometimes it's abruptly. I have felt from watching and in prayer And I mean no embarrassment by this, but I believe Bob and Terry, you've just maybe finished a season. You've had a lot of company, a lot of people living in your home, and it appears that that season may be coming to an end. How many can look back in your life and see seasons when something just began to stop and something new began to take place? And we as followers in Christ, we have seasons at times that seem to be set aside. Remember, it's for a purpose. It always has a purpose. And remember, the seasons are in His power and in His control. That's always good to remember that. So no matter what season you're going through, know that it's in His power. To Zacharias, as I mentioned earlier, he was given a promise that it would be fulfilled in its season. And he didn't believe the angel. And then it says, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." That is interesting, because words that are spoken over you are to be fulfilled in their season. The Word of Faith people felt they could make it happen anytime, but that is not true. It is in their season. And just because Zacharias didn't believe the words of the angel didn't mean they wouldn't come to pass in their season. It did come to pass. God's word has some of those promises have seasons when they are to be fulfilled. When you study the life of Elijah, and we know little about this prophet that comes out of nowhere and leaves in a chariot of fire, a whirlwind, and a chariot of fire. But you can obviously see the seasons in this prophet's life. We have him when he comes out of nowhere and he's on the scene. And he says, "There won't be any rain, King Ahab, until I say so." And he's not saying he had the power, but he knew that God had revealed this to him. And then the season, right after he said that, he had a season in his life. It says in 1 Kings 17, verse 3, God said to Elijah, this prophet, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." That is a good thing to understand. If you'll go there where I tell you to go, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. If you leave it, you don't have any promise I'm going to feed you. But if you stay where I sent you, I'll feed you, Elijah. So stay there. You know why the prodigal son was starving? Because God didn't lead him there. And that's why he began to be in want. Wherever God guides you, He provides for you. But I want you to see this picture. It's a season in his life, and not only is it a season in his life, but it's a season of testing. Because while he's there, the ravens came and gave him the food, but he also drank from the brook. And we know that the brook, because there was a drought, Elijah sees this brook going down, getting lesser and lesser. And yet, he knew he had to stay there if he was to have his needs met. And he's there and he's obedient. And the brook dried up. But it didn't dry up all at once. That brook was slowly going down. His needs, what was sustaining him, he's seeing is shrinking. And you know that him being, as James says, a man subject to like passions such as we are, that it is concerning him. But finally in verse 8, and sometimes seasons can change just like that quick. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath and dwell there. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Even prophets experience seasons. I remember when we were pioneering in Wairika, and the brook began to dry up, and the finances began to go down. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? I knew I had to stay there. I couldn't leave, because if I run now, I'll always be running. And if God sent me there, I better stay there until He tells me different. And I kept watching that brook run dry. We were on vacation to see my sister back in Minnesota. I was so heavy-hearted. I've shared with you on the way back, God, what am I going to do, when the Lord spoke to me through a miraculous green firefly, you are to leave. I didn't even know where I was supposed to go. I just knew I was supposed to leave the brook that was about dry. We drove home, and the moment I drove into our driveway, the phone rang, and it was the superintendent asking us if we would consider going to White Salmon. I'm on my way. But just as Elijah had a season of being tested, all of us can be tested at different times. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. How many know one of these days we're going to have a huge seasonal change? The Lord's coming. And oh, that will be a wonderful day. I think that time could be any time right now, because they are saying these things that He said they would say as conditions before He came. And then there's another season that we should consider. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. What season were they going through, these people? He said this, if need be, and He knew they were, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's not temptations of sinful nature, but He meant a trial. And you can see that when He says that, as He wrote a next verse, He said that the trial of your faith. And so He says that you may be going through a real difficult trial right now, but He's really saying, know this, that trial will not last forever. You may be going through a trial. That trial won't last forever. My mother loves to quote that scripture. Seasonal moment. And this too will come to pass. I don't think I'm quoting it right, but you get the gist of it. Because you know why we can know that those seasons do have an end? Because seasons are in His control. That's what we're taught. Who's in charge of these seasons? Ecclesiastes 3:10. Let's look at it again. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of man to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. He's the author of it. And verse 14 lets us know who is the author of the season, and is the finisher of the season as well as the author. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Maybe it isn't a trial you're going through, but something very similar. It may be a night season that David spoke of. Some have called it the dark night of the soul. Some have called it, but either way, it's under God's control. It may be a season of a trial. It may be a season, a night season. It may be 7 years of a season of plenty, as Joseph talked about. It may be 7 years of a challenge when there is not the plenty. But he says this, and I close in Galatians. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Your season, whatever it may be, is in his hands. How many know our church is in his hands? Our church is in God's hands. He knows its seasons. It's had different seasons. And I close with those words when they asked Jesus about Israel. Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He was bringing them back. God's in control. And no matter what we're going through, may we always have that faith. God's in control. But you know what he told them? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. He's in control. But then he told him this. Your job is to go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You know what we need to do until then? Let's stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let's stay full of the Holy Ghost. Praying in your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Let's stand, shall we? A season. Because everybody's going through a season. And not everybody goes through the same season someone else is going through. But we all have our own things we go through. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're in control. And every season has a purpose. We often don't understand, but God, it's good to understand you're in control. And so I pray, Lord, that we stay full of the Holy Ghost and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time to greet one another.